Can you imagine being a Christian with a Hebrew background, being told that anybody could walk into the holies of holies? Huh. Well, the writer of Hebrews takes us there. Let's talk about that today in the Word. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. And I want to welcome all of you who are listening to our podcast or have joined us here on the YouTube. By the way, thank you for passing this out, sharing it. So many of you are doing that. And if you've not subscribed, would you take a moment and press that little subscribe button and let's get going so that you're notified every time these teachings come out. We're right here in chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to be in verse 8 through 14. With the idea of the way into the holiest of all is the way the New King James Version addresses this. So let's jump into the reading of God's Word, verse 8. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. Man, the way into the holiest of all, he says, was not yet made manifest until the first tabernacle was done away with, or while it was still standing. Now, we've been making it clear that this is speaking that Christ fulfilled that whole idea of the tabernacle, even while the temple continued to stand. You remember Jesus said, not one stone shall remain on top of another. And it was as he was pronouncing judgments upon those when he said, O Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered your children unto me, as a hen would gather her chicks, and you would not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He spent chapter 23 of Matthew giving woe after woe after woe, seven woes to the scribes and Pharisees, because he saw their heart was hardened, their eyes were closed, and that judgment was going to come against that temple. Here the book of Hebrews is writing why it was significant that the old must be done away with before there is a new. In other words, the holies of all, or the way into it, the availability for the ordinary person was not made available while the old tabernacle was still standing. Why? Because the old tabernacle was symbolic, is the word that's used here. Parabole is the Greek word, and it means a similitude. It's like as, it's a shadow. All those things of the Old Testament are like a shadow. Or actually, this is the same word that's translated parables. When Jesus spoke to them concerning parables, that's the same word, meaning that it was a parable for the present time until the real God here, meaning the new covenant. The old covenant, the old tabernacle, there were parables. What were the parables about? The real, that which is coming. That's why he says that it cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to conscience. So the priest who was performing the service, even the high priest, did not deal with their conscience. The sacrifices they offered, the gifts that they offered, left them with a feeling of a guilty conscience. So the priest who served under the old covenant could not make the priest's offerings and sacrifices perfect. It could not do it in regards to the conscience. The conscience never felt clean. Can you imagine going all the time, offering sacrifices, then once a year on the Day of Atonement, and yet not feeling cleansed? There was always this weight of consciousness of sin. Unfortunately, there are believers who have not gotten a revelation of what Christ has done for them, and they carry a guilt or consciousness, and I wonder if they really have understood the gospel. For if the cleansing was incomplete in the priest that was offering those sacrifices, then what would it be for the rest of the people? Well, that's why Jesus had to come, because these fleshly ordinances imposed upon them until the time of Reformation. Jesus would come and reform it. It was imposed on them. It was a symbol to them until that time. Now let's move right into verse 11, and he explains why. Because there's a superiority of the sanctuary under the new covenant. Verse 11, but Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. In other words, it did not come about by what man did. This was not built after the tabernacle in heaven. This is the tabernacle in heaven in which Christ came. Then verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now let me stop there for just a moment. We'll talk about this more in just a minute, but I must see this, that he did not come in with the blood of bulls and goats. Now watch how the writer of Hebrews is taking us through the better covenant, the better high priest, the better sanctuary, and now the better sacrifice, because Jesus has already been told that Jesus offered himself as the perfect sacrifice. But here he's saying that when he entered into the most holy place, he entered once for all. That's significant, because under the old covenant, they had to enter into once a year. Every year they would go, it was almost like an appeasement, kind of paying the interest on this humongous debt that never could be paid, because God himself in human form had to pay the penalty, because no human being, even a perfect human being, could not pay the penalty for humans. It took God himself to satisfy his own justice. Wow. I love that. To satisfy his own justice. And that's why God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And then when he entered into the most holy place to offer the sacrifice or his own blood, he did it once and for all, and having obtained eternal salvation or eternal redemption. If that doesn't give you confidence in your salvation in Christ, what else can? If your faith is in Christ, he has eternally saved you. He has done it once and for all. For if the blood of bulls and goats, verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and of the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Wow. As we said, if Christ came as a high priest of good things to come, and he offered a more perfect sacrifice because the blood of bulls and goats was not sufficient. However, if it was sufficient enough for them, then how much more is the blood of Jesus Christ, which offers us eternal redemption? His own blood, he entered into the most holy place himself, the holy place which you were talking about making a way. Christ made a way. He entered in behind the veil. Watch this. And he remains. But the veil is torn. See, in the Old Testament, the high priest would go in, not stay long, as we mentioned in our last teaching, not have any lengthy prayers, but wanted to get out. And when he came out, history tells us there was a great rejoicing. His family would get together. All the ones, the priests would get together, rejoice, because why? He was not killed and God accepted the sacrifice. Wow. But he left the holy place and the veil brought a barrier. When Jesus died on the cross, he tore that veil. It was torn. Father God tore it from top to bottom. History tells us that was a 90-foot veil in the temple that Herod remodeled. I guess they expanded it a little bit, but it tore from top to bottom. It was rent in Jesus' death. And Jesus went into the holy place of heaven, and he has stayed there. He's not coming in and out. Why? Because once and for all, He's in that place, ever living, making intercession for us, and we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We have full entrance. We have a way, as we're talking about, into the holy place because of His blood. For what the blood of bulls and goats could not do, it could not take care of that. But what it did do, then how much more would the blood of Christ do for us? It mentions the ashes of the heifer. The ashes of the heifer, according to the scriptures over in Numbers 19, the heifer would be burned and the ashes would be taken and sprinkled on the laver outside there of the tabernacle, and it would sanctify that water, sort of like make it holy water. But that's all over. Jesus has come and once and for all sanctified all the sacrifices. And I know there are some dispensationalists that are still looking for the red heifer. And for what reason? Jesus has already satisfied it all. There's no need to go back to any kind of memorial services to try to set up some kind of reinstitution of the temple in order to fulfill any prophecy of the scriptures. No, Jesus fulfilled it all once and for all. It's done. So how much more shall the blood of Jesus cleanse you from your conscience of dead works? Now he's writing to these Hebrews and saying, okay, they would have been depending upon dead works, maybe to go back into some of the Judaism. And so the writer of Hebrews is warning them about dead works. But we need to see that our conscience can be seared and our conscience can mislead us. But our conscience can be defiled, the scripture says, but our conscience needs to be cleansed, clean. We know and we're aware. What it's saying is we can know that our sins are forgiven. Christians who understand the gospel should be free from guilt and shame. Guilt is something that you've done or thought or you're guilty of, and shame is your view of yourself because of that, when you know that you're truly, fully forgiven. And I know it's popular for people to say, I know God forgives me, but I just don't know if I can forgive myself. I just want to scream when I hear that because I'm thinking, man, if you understood God really forgave you, you wouldn't think about yourself. How righteous do you think you are? How important are you to not forgive when the blood of Jesus has cleansed us? Man, if you get a revelation of the forgiveness of God and fully, you don't even worry about yourself. That's all taken care of because He's done it once and for all. When people say that, I wonder if they really struggle with a revelation of what it really means for the work that Christ did for us. That He cleanses our heart, our conscience, not just from dead works, but sin in general. Yes, that's right. He does that in order what? That we might serve a living God. We do that out of our desire because our conscience is cleansed. See, if your conscience is not cleansed, watch this. You're trying to do something to get God to accept you because you're not for sure you're accepted. But when you know the blood of Jesus has cleansed you and freed you, then you're serving a living God out of gratefulness and thanksgiving and out of love, and obedience comes out of that clean conscience. Can I encourage you today? Go over these scriptures. If you're not aware that your guilt is removed, if your conscience is not clean, either you don't have a revelation of this, and so therefore you're holding on to something, or maybe you've never really had a true conversion through the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to pray with you. Father, I pray today that come a revelation as we go through the book of Hebrews of what it means to be cleansed from our sin and our guilt consciousness and our shame. Father, sometimes we want to hide because we don't know of your forgiveness. And we want to come boldly before the throne of grace that we find help in the time of need. We thank you for that mercy, and we thank you for that grace that we have a way into the holies of holies. And Jesus, you not only stayed there, but we're welcomed there, and that's where we live. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining me today. May the Word of God strengthen you as we walk through today in the Word.